Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to a November 22, 2008 segment from the Kentucky Water Fuel Museum. With us today is a very special guest. His name is Pete, and he is an electronics engineer who's come up with an awesome new way to power electric motors. And Pete, are you with us?
Hello, yeah, Pete. Hi, James.
Oh, welcome.
Yeah, hi, James. Hi, James. How you doing?
Very good. And someone may be wondering why a web radio program dedicated to water fuel technology would be interested in an invention such as yours. But it is definitely related because we're talking about non-polluting free energy, and that would apply as much to creating hydrogen as it would to directly powering a vehicle or other appliances with a device.
Absolutely.
So perhaps we can find out a little bit about your background. I know you want to maintain some confidentiality, so we're not going to reveal your last name or where you're located, but perhaps we could get a little bit of background as to what led you to this point in life where you've come up with such an awesome invention.
Okay. Well, I started out as an electrician back when I was 17 years old. I'm 56 now. By the time I was 26, I was became an electrical contractor. And I just started teaching myself everything about electricity that I could get my hands on. I'm just a chronic reader. I always had my dad taught all me and my brother and sisters, read all you can. So I always did, and I loved electronics. And I just, you know, as being a contractor, I used to rebuild TGI Fridays restaurants and First Cafeterias, Bennigan's, Chili's, all over the nation. And I was always running into, you know, everything's electronic in those restaurants. And so, you know, you either fix them or you don't. And I just kept learning. And a few years back, just dawned on me, you know, why can't I make motors run at better than the average of, 12% efficiency? And so I started doing 2 years of research. I had plenty of money, so I just started doing research. And, you know, I spent 6 months at the patent office, you know, looking at patents and looking at the designs of motors and everything. And everything I found was just, I mean, just lousy. And so I thought, well, okay, you can't really, you know, modify motors to make them, you know, run right or run cheap. So I'm going, well, what's the next thing? But it turned out it was variable speed AC drives. So I started researching those. I bought one, started playing with it. And the first one I got was an analog unit. And, well, it was a combination of analog and digital. And I put together the first generator set using that technology. And I actually had, I think I was pulling about 35 amps output with about 6 or 7 amps input. And I almost fainted the first time I fired it up. It worked the first time.
Now, is this something that other people have also done, what you're describing, your early experiments? Have other people noticed that this is possible?
The only other person I've heard of ever even trying this was a physicist in Russia named Alexander Chernetsky. He tried the same thing with a plasma generator, but his problem was that only, no matter how big or small he built his gensets, he could only get 700 watts. And that was his downfall. That was, you know, and 700 watts just doesn't create much. On the first one I built up, I had, well, 35,000 watt generator. I was getting 33,000 watts off that generator for just a few hundred watts input.
And this we're talking about a generator, just the motor, not a gas powered generator.
No gas.
You're talking about the generator itself, which is turned by a pulley or something?
Right.
And
so right,
you're
you
saying,
can turn it with drive shafts, pulleys, you know, anything you want to turn it with. Well, I also developed a transmission to go between the motor and the generator. One thing I always noticed was whenever power was, you know, zapped from the generator, it wants to slow the generator down radically. So I came up with a transmission that hooks up between the generator and the motor. And I just built a system for the U.S. Army a few years ago. And that transmission, we had a 50 kW generator on an Army trailer. and it put out, well, my max was 297 amps with minus, well, it was milliamps input. The transmission developed 12,700 foot-pounds of torque. So
wow.
No matter what we hit the generator with power, there was absolutely no losses whatsoever, nothing. It was like the generator didn't recognize any power coming off it. It just supplied it. Didn't
okay,
care
now,
how big.
For the sake
really
of those who are not familiar with what a variable speed AC controller is, perhaps you could explain why those things are even in existence. This is used in industry, of course. Why
you can make a spin at any RPM you want it to spin at.
Okay.
And manufacturers used a lot. For different applications. In the past, if you needed one motor to spin at 1,000 RPMs and another motor on the same assembly line to spin it at 2,100 RPMs, well, you had to buy two different motors. But with these variable speed drives, you could buy the same motors, you know, call through the assembly process and run them with these drives and make them run at any RPM you want.
Uh-huh.
Kind of like a rheostat on a light fixture, you know, like
right.
a dimmer.
Okay, so it's like a dimmer control or a volume control or something.
Yeah, in layman's terms, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And since a lot of our listeners are laymen, and I am, it's good to put it in those terms for the sake of us who aren't very well versed in this. So an AC speed controller or a variable speed control is affecting the wavelength that's getting to the motor? Is that the idea? Is it something like a pulse width modulator or something? Or
well, the drives start out like that. When I buy them from the factory, that's exactly what they are. I come apart and completely modify them. I don't really want to say how I do it because that's proprietary or technology. What if
okay, so
I have the U.S. Army here at my house right now. And they've got, I think I had about six more officers coming today. And I'm running 1,000 pounds of AC motors with a 5 horsepower, in other words, 19 horsepower of AC motors. I'm running with a 5 horsepower drive with tiny toy airplane wire as the source of power to run 1,000 pounds of motors. And nobody on earth has ever done that.
So you're taking a wire that's the size of a few human hairs, and you're pumping milliamps of current through it, and you're running these high horsepower electric motors.
Right. And it's pretty phenomenal. It's amazing to see. It blows the socks off everybody that sees it.
And the way that this is accomplished is by using a modified AC speed control.
Variable speed. Yeah, right.
Very interesting.
And I'm hoping it's going to be the new industrial revolution because the technology will work in anything that uses electricity. I don't have to just do motors. I mean, the technology could be put in toasters. It could be put in ovens, air
really?
Conditioner, water heaters, anything
so
that uses electricity.
You're saying that any appliance that we have that's requiring all these power plants to crank out these huge kilowatts of power to power our world, you're saying that
exactly.
we could be using a fraction of that electricity.
You could be using milli fraction of the power that's being used today.
Unbelievable.
This technology widespread, say it was in every home in America, you wouldn't have to build another power plant ever again, not any kind.
In fact, you could shut them down, huh?
Well, I mean, you're still going to need power for something because, you know, there's always going to be, you know, somebody that just won't, you know, old-fashioned is just not going to accept new stuff. But you're talking about, if I had this technology in every single appliance in my house right now, I could run my house with an 800-watt inverter on a car battery.
Amazing.
Which
a solar panel would keep charging up.
Yeah, what you pay for in your electric bill is the amp draw that your house pulls. Well, when you eliminate that amp draw, what are you being charged for? It's pretty neat. It's really incredible. Technology. And
it is incredible. Now, how is it that you arrived at this conclusion that this would work? What is it that what were the steps that led to it?
A lot of money and time.
Okay, for instance, you mentioned to me that you would go to a bar near where these electronics engineers would go after work. At 5 o'clock, you'd be there, and you'd pick
be
up
hanging
their
bar tab. Yeah, I'd hang out at the nicest bars around, well, McDonnell, Douglas, Boeing. I'd travel all over the country to do this. And I'd just find the nicest bar closest to the plants, because I figured that's where the physicists and all the engineers worked. And I'd be there at 5 o'clock, and sure enough, they'd come in, and I'd just start up a conversation, and I'd tell them what I wanted to do. And every single time, they'd say, man, that's a wonderful idea, except you cannot defeat thermodynamics. And I'm going, I always carried three TI programmable calculators with me, and I'd go, okay, show me the math that says I can't do it. And nobody ever could show me the math, which told me, well, this is possible. Because if there is no math against it, then that means it is possible. And after 2 years of that, I just said, well, the hell with it. I've got plenty of money. Just go build one. And I did, and I almost fainted when it worked.
Isn't
it was
amazing?
That. Yeah. Because it shouldn't have worked.
Of course, you mentioned earlier that in talking to some engineers from Intel, that they let on that there's information that is fed to the public as far as what Ohm's law and so on is, but then there's the reality that they're aware of.
Yeah, they've known for years that thermodynamics is just incorrect. It just doesn't work anymore. They defeated that stuff a long time ago, but they're not using it how I'm using it. They're using it for supercomputers for governments and stuff like that.
But they readily admitted to you that the laws that are taught in universities are really obsolete and don't tell the whole story.
Exactly. Ohm's law is not only obsolete now; it's just wrong. It just doesn't apply anymore. It just doesn't. I'm defeating Ohm's law. I'm defeating thermodynamics. And, when you have two wires in and three out, there's no way to hocus pocus that. And especially when the two wires coming in, you almost can't even see them. They're so small. And the two wires coming out are gigantic. Or the three wires coming out are gigantic, I'm sorry.
Isn't that interesting? So perhaps we can describe the layout once again. So you've got a this specially modified variable speed
drive.
AC drive.
Right.
And, you've done extensive modification on it so that the input power to that AC controller is that drive, I guess you call it a speed controller, is that right, a variable speed controller?
Right.
You're inputting milliamps of current, and
right.
You're getting out, you're able to... I'm sorry?
I'm getting 200 volts input and 200 output, but I have milliamps on the input. And matter of fact, the motors are pulling more amperage off the drive than the drive is rated at, and the drive's running fine.
Isn't
it's in other words, it'd be shutting down, and it's not. It's running just absolutely fine.
No heat involved, you say?
Now, the drives don't get hot. The motors don't get hot. Normally, these size motors, but two of the motors weigh over 300 pounds each. That's how big these motors are I'm using. And under normal conditions, if you went and put your hand on top of it after 5 or 10 minutes of running, you wouldn't leave your hand there longer than a second. It'd burn you. And the motors, I can let it run for days. They stay at room ambient temperature. They never get hot.
Do you have them under some kind of load, or are you loading them at all?
Yeah.
What are you using, like a pony brake or something, or?
You can use light bulbs, 300-watt light bulbs, strips of them. Like the system I did for the Army, the first test we did on them was I think I had three 1x4s loaded with, I think it was 300-watt light bulbs stripped. And we turned them all on at once, which made the warehouse look like it was blinding everybody. Pulled, I think about 100, I forget now, 100 and something amps, and it did nothing to the speed regulation of the genset, nothing.
Hmm.
No derogatory not one RPM did that generator slow down.
So how do we account for this, since this is so outside the box?
Well, I figured out how to make motors run at absolute 100% efficient with this drive, which is something nobody else has ever done. I don't think anybody else has even tried it other than the Japanese. I went to Tokyo a few years ago to see just what kind of technology they had there. And I forget the percentages. They took a motor, and I think it was like a 10 or a 25 horsepower motor, and did the windings on the armature with solid wire. And I think they got to 41% efficiency. I might be wrong on that, but I think it was somewhere around that. It was the best they could do with solid gold windings. But the drawback was the motor cost, I think it was like $500,000 just in the windings. So that's not practical. Nobody would ever be able to.
From what I remember, it seems that one of the water fuel device inventors by the name of Stanley Meyer, I don't know if you've heard of him, he commented that the Japanese did come up with some kind of over-unity electric motor and that the Japanese mafia was opposed to it. Somehow there was, evidently there's some strong mafias in Japan that...
I don't know about that. I haven't heard anything that they've done with the motor since. I was over that in, I think it was 2005.
Yeah, well, this goes back over 10 years because that's when he died. But he was aware, and in one of the video interviews that he did, he said that the Japanese had come up with some highly efficient electric motors, and they were prevented from developing them because of the special, the entrenched interest there in utilities, I suppose.
Right. Well, that stuff I don't know anything about. The people I met over there were just, hot to trot for anything that was, energy efficient. So I think the times have changed, especially nowadays.
Yeah, it could be that times have changed. Yeah.
Everything going to, crap in a handbag. It's not a matter anymore do people want better efficiency. It's a matter of it has to happen.
Yeah, they need it.
Everybody has to have this stuff. It's not anymore, it's great idea, but we really don't need it. Oil is working fine. Well, oil isn't working fine anymore. Plants aren't fine anymore.
Yeah, we're more aware of the danger that they pose to our health.
Yeah, and my stuff is out, no emissions, period. Nothing. There's nothing detrimental about having one of these gen sets of mine. Zero, zero. Well, as a matter of fact, the only maintenance on the Army's machine was 3 fan belts. That was it.
Wow.
There's nothing else to change on the unit.
Now, are you saying that the Army has been using this now for several months or a year or something?
Had it since 2003. I don't know what they've done with it because it's classified. What they did with it, I have no idea.
So something identical to what you're now announcing or something different from what you're now taking?
What they have is not as good as what I'm doing now because I've improved what I did for them already 100%. But what I gave them was the best I could do, back then. It's like every time I play with this thing, I find something new. It's just amazing. It's like never-ending, great days.
Obviously, you're very gifted to think outside the box and actually create such a modified speed controller that's capable of such an awesome
There's luck there, too. Don't leave out luck.
Well, as Thomas Edison said, if you do it enough times, you're bound to figure out all the wrong ways to do it and eventually land upon the right way.
Exactly. Yeah, you have to just be willing to... I got to a point where I wasn't going to find out if it worked or not unless I was willing to spend a lot of money and just, build one and see what happens. And at the time, I had plenty of money, so I did it, and I was amazed it worked. And it's just, it's outstanding technology.
And so what do you, if you were trying to explain to a layman what accounts for the power conversion from milliamps to, tremendous amp equivalent horsepower, what's the simple explanation for that conversion?
When you have a motor... a three-phase AC motor that runs at the normal is they advertise 80% efficiency on the motors, but that's a bunch of crap. It's not. It's about 12%. And the motor's running it. In other words, it's wasting, 88% of the energy that's going into that motor. It's just not doing anything.
And it's being wasted as heat or what?
Yeah, it just goes up in heat. That's why the motors get so hot. And you change that from 12% to 100% efficiency, well, the heat's gone. And you're using all the energy to turn that motor, which makes that motor so powerful. It's out of sight.
And that's why you're able to get much more energy out in terms of, brake horsepower?
Right.
As compared to the milliamps of current that are being input to it.
The motor's spinning at 100% efficiency. It doesn't need it doesn't need hardly any power to run it. And that's what science and industry has either never done or just refuses to try to do. And so I tried it, and it works like a champ.
Very interesting.
It's just, my socks. I almost fainted the first one I fired up, and it was the drive I used back then wasn't even anywhere near as quality wise as good as what I'm using today. And it's just every time I open one of these things up, it's just better and better and better.
Now, is this something that can be scaled down to, say, a suitcase-sized device or similar to a gen set that you'd buy at a hardware store?
That's what it is right now. The drive I'm using right now only weighs 17 pounds. It's tiny. It's not very big at all. And it's running 1,000 pounds of motors.
But that has to be coupled to these heavy motors that are not portable, right? I mean, I'm saying, can the whole thing be scaled down to a miniature size?
Yeah. In other words, if any motors, this thing will run any motor that's three-phase power that runs, three-phase or single-phase, that runs on either 110 volts or 220 volts AC current. Doesn't make any difference what size the motor is, I can run it.
Okay, so in other words, you take your 17-pound device, which is the size of, a laptop computer or something?
Oh, no, it's, I'm looking at it right now. It's about, 7-8 inches wide. It's about 6 inches deep, and it's about 11 inches long.
Okay, so it's similar to maybe one of those battery backup, they're about 17 pounds in about that size, aren't they?
Right, UPS, yeah.
Okay, and so you're taking this little box, and you're hooking it up to input power, which, where would you typically be getting that from? A transformer that you plug in the wall or something?
A wall, you can get it from a pneumatic, motor turning a generator. You can use a gasoline generator. You can use batteries.
Or does it run on wall current, house current?
Oh, sure.
Okay, so you're plugging that controller. It's designed to plug into a 110-volt outlet.
Well, right now it's designed to plug into a 220-volt outlet.
Okay.
The thing is like, if I plug it into the house, my electric bill, I can run all these motors and nothing happens to my electric bill. Nothing.
Well, that's something the utility companies aren't going to be real happy about. But how do you account for that? So you're taking a little bit of the current from the grid, and you are converting it into a waveform. Is that what we would say?
No, I'm just amplifying it. I'm turning it into pure power instead of crappy power. I guess that's about as lame as I can make it.
Well, a similar expression was used the other day regarding the gasoline that they're selling us. This fellow calls it garbage fuel. He says they're taking these hydrocarbons that are far inferior to the gasoline of, say, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. They're selling us garbage fuel.
That's exactly right.
So you're saying that's basically what the conventional use of electricity is an inferior use of the power that's there, huh?
Yeah. It's called dirty power. If the software for power analyzation for your home, you'd be amazed at what crappy power you had in your home, or else you'd have perfect. The closer you are to the start of the grid, the better your power is going to be in your house. The further away you are from it, the worse your power is going to be. And that's just how it is. And the power companies don't do anything to clear that up.
So you used an expression. I'm sorry, go ahead. You used an expression where you said you're amplifying the power?
Yeah, in layman's terms, I'm purifying is what it, I'm trying to think how I can make this, you know, as simple as I can. But, you know, there are just some things in electricity you just can't make simple.
Yeah.
Because the process for me to do this is an extremely complicated process.
But you're basically modifying the AC, like, for instance, how would this show up on an oscilloscope? If you're looking at a normal, what is it, a 60 cycle per second AC?
It takes a $26,000 oscilloscope just to read this stuff.
Really?
And I can't say what it does. It's proprietary.
Okay, that is proprietary. Well, you've shared a great deal of information already that I'm sure is going to have a lot of people excited.
Yeah, it should. There's hope again.
Yeah, and this is something. Is this anything similar to what Nikola Tesla originally was proposing, or does it not have anything to do with his research?
Not really. He was trying to transmit electric high voltage, high current through using airwaves, like in a radio frequency. So I'm not doing that.
No, but of course, he being the father of AC current, did he ever propose anything similar to this, or?
I don't know if he did or not. He probably did, because he didn't like power companies at all, and he considered transmission of power and generators to be so inferior when they didn't have to be. And he was always upset with a lot with what was going on, with how people were getting power and how they were paying for it, which was really inexpensive back then, but evidently, you know, people that were buying it, it wasn't cheap to them. And
okay, so Tesla is the one who invented the AC motor, right, the AC electric motor. But you're the first person to come along and say, these motors can be run differently than what they are.
Yeah. Well, I've got two motors here on the back of my truck. They're over 30 years old that I use. Just to show, this stuff works on old motors or new motors. And it's the same readouts whether I'm using a 30-year-old motor or I'm using a brand-new motor.
So it works on any AC motor?
You betcha.
Now, what about a DC rectified motor? What does it do to that? Same thing?
I don't do those. I haven't tried those at all yet.
So it isn't been tested on DC motors?
Yeah, I don't need to do DC motors because AC is just the best motors you can buy.
Okay, and then as far as, say, for instance, an electric car, if this were...
They make variable speed AC or variable speed DC drives also. I haven't done one of those yet because my next project is going to be an 18-wheeler. We're going to take the diesel engine out of it, put probably a 100-horsepower three-phase AC motor in its place. And, it's going to be the same technology that I used on the Army's genset. Their genset normally used 57 gallons of diesel fuel per 24 hours. The one I built for them used 6 gallons in over a year.
Really? So you're talking about the one you already built for them several years ago.
Yeah. It would take over a year to burn 6 gallons of fuel, gasoline, in that genset.
Unbelievable.
What it replaced with a generator that used 57 gallons of diesel per day. So it's huge. The savings in just diesel fuel alone is billions of dollars every year.
And that goes back several years.
Yeah. I want to put the same system in an 18-wheeler and drive it from one end of the country to the other end and back. Put 7,000-8,000 miles on it and use 6, maybe 9 gallons of gas.
Well, I'm sure the trucking industry will be very interested in that.
Yeah, they should be. Yeah, and it's doable. You know, this is not pie in the sky crap. This is real technology. Yeah, if I couldn't have done it, I guarantee the Army would have put me in jail for scamming them.
Well, now, how many of these units do they have in use now? Just that one prototype, or have they continued to use them?
That's classified, I don't know.
Okay.
They're not going to tell him. They're not going to tell
yeah.
anybody yet. What they couldn't do, they classify my technology, but they couldn't classify me. If you see
right.
what I'm saying. They can say whether they're allowed to talk about it, but they couldn't tell me, you know, well, you have to stop and you can't do this and do that. You know, I wouldn't go for that.
Yeah, but they have done that in the past. They have called
yeah.
certain inventions something that would affect national security, and they've basically told the inventor that it's on the shelf.
Yeah, well, when they do that, they have to pay you, I mean, millions and millions and millions of dollars, and they're just too cheap nowadays. They don't want to do that anymore. That's fine with my money off the public anyway.
Okay, so what's your plan for marketing this device then?
For houses, you know, people's homes, 18-wheelers, cars, boats, then probably get into appliances, probably license it out to you know, water heater manufacturers, you know, ovens, you know, Maytag, you know, companies like that, and let them put this stuff in their appliances, and then when you have your whole house full of this stuff, you literally can run it with just a little bitty inverter with a car battery. It'll never go down.
So are
you
saying that it is necessary to install a device on each appliance, or will you just install it at the fuse box or the breaker box of your home?
Either way, if you don't want to do, you know, the appliances, you can put just a gen set on the side of your house. And you can just tell the power company, you know, you can come out here and take your meter. We don't need your power anymore.
And so what you'd basically do is you'd use, say, solar panels to keep a battery charged up, and the battery would through an inverter, would supply the milliamps of current that are needed to power your whole house?
Right. Exactly. Or you could use pneumatics. I mean, you could use air tanks. You can use gasoline, you know, small gasoline. You've got a lot of options. You're not limited to, you know, one way of doing it. There's a lot of different ways you can run this thing, because the power drain is just nothing. It's so minute. Whatever you use for a power source, it's just going to run and run and run and run.
Well,
and another thing, it's nice. You're getting virgin electricity to your house, which means all your appliances in your house, they're not going to burn out anymore, because you're not getting dirty power anymore. Your computer is going to be crashing all the time. You know, your PC at home, it's going to be getting virgin power. You know, just that alone is going to make people so happy that they're going to wonder, why did I have this in the first place?
Well, you know, when you mentioned milliamps of power, you can almost get that out of an earth battery, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
You can
stick
a rod in the ground and get milliamps of power. Would that be what is the volts that are needed?
Well, the voltage, the two input wires that I'm using into the drive, they're only rated at 6 volts DC. And milliamp amperage. If I plugged, say I hooked up these two little, or three of these little wires to just the motors, which I did this once for a physicist, because he was going, he said, well, I don't think there's really a load there. And I said, well, you're right, there's not. And he said, well, no, I mean, there really is a load there. And I'm going, okay, make up your mind. He said, well, I want to see those motors start up with that little wire straight from the outlet. And I'm going, you want to see that? He's like, yeah. I'm going, okay. And I didn't tell him what, you know, was going to happen. I just did it. We plugged it into a three-phase 50-amp socket, and I told it was at a Ford dealership. I told the mechanic, I said, go turn the breaker on. And I had the physicist standing right next to the wire, and as soon as the power came on, the wire exploded. It felt like a 410 shotgun going off next to this guy's foot. And it disintegrated 11 inches of the wire and set it on fire. And I said, now, do you think there's a load there now? And this guy jumped about 10 feet. He's
wow.
going, okay, yeah, I'm satisfied. There's a load. And so it's you know, it's just an amazing device. Without the computer, that's what happens. With the computer.
Oh, I see. By hooking it up direct, that's the kind of load there was.
Yeah, it was a huge load. I mean, the amp load went up over, you know, for starting up, all these motors was over 300 amps. And with this drive, it doesn't even hit 3 for starting
yeah.
amps.
What about the startup of the motor? When you're drawing all those amps to start it up conventionally, it goes up to speed rather quickly. How does it ramp up to speed when you're using this device? Is it slower? Is it
No, I can make it's adjustable. I can make the motors ramp up fast or ramp up slow, whatever speed I want. But the ramp up amps don't ever go any higher than probably about 2.5, maybe 3 amps on the output, which has nothing derogatory on the input. So it's really neat. In other words, these motors, instead of them pulling, you know, anywhere from 200, 300 amps on the startup, which you would be charged for that on your electric bill, they're only pulling about two to 3 amps. That's it. And it's only for a second or two. And then your milliamp input stays the same. It does not go up.
Isn't that fascinating? That is so contrary to everything we know that people are going to have a hard time believing it until they actually see it.
Right.
Now,
We're going to make a movie of this thing, and when I do, I'll send you a copy of it.
Yeah, it'd be good to post it on YouTube. That's where all the energy technology seems to be ending up for people to examine, is right there on YouTube, which is free to post there, and it's pretty easy to do.
It's really interesting stuff. And I mean, the whole world needs this stuff. It's just time.
Well, it sounds like you're being very generous in giving this information away. Of course, you're interested in making some money on it. That's fine, but it appears that you're freely sharing the information for mankind to benefit from.
Yeah. Well, I just, you know, when I ran my electrical business, I always tried to run it to where, you know, I'm in business to make money, but I'm just not in business to rape everybody. And, you know, corporate America's had, you know, they've had their day in the sun for, what, 80 years, 100 years? Well, you know, now it's a little guy's turn.
Yeah, and like you said earlier, you had enough money to be able to research this subject. So obviously you were successful at what you were doing in your business. And that's the way and many others feel about it too. We've made our money. You know, we've lived in a prosperous country. We've done well for ourselves. Why not give something back?
Exactly. I mean, why not do something that's good for everybody that comes in contact with, not just a handful? And it's just a great little invention. And, I'll give you another example. The Army's machine, the cost of it, I think the actual cost was like $48,000. That's just unbelievably cheap. If I'd have been MIT or Stanford or somebody like that, their cost on that machine would have been $400 million.
Yeah, exactly.
But,
now, that's the next question I was wanting to ask is, what would a consumer expect to pay for one of these controllers?
Well, when I'm able to go into mass production, we're going to try to get them to where homeowners can buy them from probably $8,000 to maybe $10,000 or $12,000 a piece the first year, and then every year bring that down a little bit every year.
Right.
So, you know, what's neat about it is if you own your own home, it'll be classified as a home improvement loan, and it's 100% write-offable. And, you know, and not just that, but you just, whatever the unit costs you, you just upgraded the value of your property twice that much. So,
sure.
You know, it comes out great for homeowners. You know, it comes out great for anybody that ends up with it.
Now, is it something that you would be able to actually just carry with you, like carrying a boom box or something that you would take and use in your vehicle, then when you get home, use it in your home, or is it not that portable?
A home gen set system would be about, take up the space about a washer and a dryer. And no, it'd be total portable. Yeah, wherever you moved, you could literally just unplug it from your main panel and just take it to your new house.
So it would be something that you would dolly into a pickup truck and carry from place to place.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
Very interesting. Well, it's sure encouraging to hear that someone such as yourself has dedicated time and resources to coming up with a superior energy technology device for the benefit of mankind and for the planet itself, for the environment.
It was my pleasure. Believe it or not, I had a lot of fun doing it.
Well, it sounds like it. It sounds like you've enjoyed doing what you do, what you know best, and it's a real it's a privilege to be able to talk to someone who has the genius to come up with something like this. I think it's really great, and all of us have some kind of gift, and obviously this is yours.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's good at something.
Well, listen, I appreciate your joining us today. I've listed your website, www.worldviewopinion.com, and email charlotte@worldviewopinion.com. That's how people can get in touch with you, huh?
Yeah, she's my publicist. And thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks so much, Pete. Perhaps we can do a follow-up interview sometime to see what's happened since.
Time, just give me.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks so much. Take care. And goodbye.
Bye-bye. That was fun.